Back in 2020, we were stuck inside for a few months. I don't know if anyone else was, but we were. And we decided the most intelligent thing that we could possibly do during that time was a complete home renovation. Because if you're going to just live inside your house all the time, you might as well live with walls knocked down and dust everywhere, because that would make it more enjoyable. And so we began this project. We started with knocking down some walls. Ryan and Gracie got to do their favorite part of the whole project. And we were removing some walls and putting in walls and doing all kinds of stuff, removing flooring. And then we got to the best part of the project, the part that I knew was going to be so incredibly simple. Because I had an incredible teacher, YouTube. I learned the art of taping and bedding in about 4 minutes. It's pretty impressive, really. And the screw holes, nail holes were super easy. But then there comes the actual tape part. And here's the problem, is not only did I have one new wall, we replaced a lot of sheetrock in our house, and we had to do all the walls. And not only did we have to do all of the walls, we also scraped all the popcorn ceilings. And they had to be redone throughout our entire house. And so the first night, I get my tape and my mud and just watched YouTube, great teacher, and put my first coat on and get it done. And I stand back and I think, this is going to be easy. Looks good. And I walk in the next day, and you can see the one little seam that I did. That was like one night of work, by the way. And I looked at it, and I thought, this is going to take a little more time. And so I did that seam. I pulled the tape off, and I started over, and I did that seam again. I watched YouTube first again. My teacher was very helpful. And I walked in the next morning, and I thought, oh, man, this is going to be really bad, because this is not good. And so I did the same thing again the next night, and again, didn't really work. And so I got on the phone, well, actually, I got on my iPhone, and there's an app called Thumbtack, and you can bid projects. And I found someone who does taping and bedding, and it was crazy. He called me back. Like, I was so frustrated. He called me back at 9:30 at night, and he was like, when do you want me to come over and give you a bid? I said, is now okay? And so this guy shows up at 10:15 in the middle of the week at our house. No idea who this is. And he walks through and he's like, here, I'll do this and this and this, and here's what it'll cost, da-da-da-da. You're hired. And it ended up working out really, really well. He did a fantastic job. And I remained a Christian. And so that was good for both of us, I think. But there are some things that take skill and time. Like, you don't accidentally become really good at taping and bedding. Like, it's a skill that's developed. And I think one of the things you see in life is strength takes time. Skill takes time. Stability takes time. It is built over time. And what is weak underneath eventually becomes visible on the outside. If you don't do a really good job taping and bedding, no matter how much mud and texture you put on the wall and how great the paint looks, they're going to be glaring eyesores all over your house. And if you want that, just talk to me and I will be glad to help. But what is underneath, if it's not strong, becomes visible. All of us are building our life. We are all building a life with a career, with family. our image. Man, there's one. And what we build on is incredibly important in the process. And our question is, does it look good? Does my family, does my career, does my bank account, does my retirement, does it look good? But Jesus asks a different question. He asks, what is it built on? Because what it is built on is every bit as important, if not more important, than what we are actually building. Jesus has just wrapped up the Sermon on the Mount. And all of these people have gathered around and listened to him talk about life in the kingdom of God. And how different and upside down this life as a part of the body of Christ, a part of the kingdom, looks from everyone else. And how that our life is based on love and forgiveness and mercy and loving our enemies and keeping our oath and not doing things just to be seen. And he finishes the sermon with these words. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had a foundation, or its foundation, on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, and the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. So as he wraps up this sermon, he says, now, everyone who hears these words and does them is like this wise man. And everyone who hears these words and does not do them is like a foolish man. And something in the story that really sticks out, there are two builders. And both builders build a home. My guess is very, very good quality. They didn't have YouTube. They had someone else to teach them. They build their home. And yet for both of them, the storm comes. And the rains come down, the floods come up, and the wind blows and beats against the house. In essence, it comes from all sides. There's rain coming from above, there's flood waters coming from beneath, there's wind pressing against the house from the side. And the only difference in the house that stands and the house that falls is what the house was built on. What the foundation beneath the house was. And the issue is not exposure to Jesus' words. It's not just, oh, we heard what he said. The issue was response to Jesus' words. It wasn't just simply, oh, I heard what Jesus said. I mean, can you imagine the Sermon on the Mount, like finishing up and someone coming up to Jesus like, Jesus, that was amazing. A little long, we have to get to lunch, but it was so good. It was convicting. You stepped on my toes. Jesus, it was amazing. Now, I'm going to lunch. I'll see you later. And they go on with their life, and nothing changed. That was so deep. That was so good. You spoke to me. See ya. And it would be like us listening to a sermon, right? Totally random example. It'd be like us listening to a sermon or listening to a class and thinking, wow, that was good. Well, okay, on with the rest of my day. And nothing else in your life changed. The problem wasn't hearing. Because the foolish man heard the words, but they did nothing with them. The wise man heard the words of Jesus and entirely reordered their life around them. I heard what you said, Jesus. Now I'm going to change everything in my life so that my life lines up with you, so that my life reflects your word. That these words weren't something just to be admired. They were something to be lived out, something to build our lives upon. In 1 Corinthians, Paul says, and this is our promise for the week, that Christ is our foundation, that no one can lay any foundation other than the one that has already been laid, which is Jesus Christ. Like, he has to be the foundation, the beginning of everything, or it will not stand. And so he says, the wise man built his house on the rock, and it stood firm, and the foolish man built his house on the sand. And of course, the rock in the story is not just the words of Jesus or who Jesus is, but it's actually living those words out as the foundation of everything that we are and do. But the sand is hearing those words, being in proximity to those words and not changing anything because of them. And our assumption, I think, is when we hear the story of sand is all those bad things in our world. Sand's all the bad stuff. But sand in Jesus' story is not just all the bad stuff. I think sand in the story can be a lot of really good things too. Because sand can be our family, it can be friends, it can be things that are probably really, really, really important. But they make a poor foundation. Because if you ask family, or if you ask money to be the foundation, then everything is going to get pretty wobbly. And eventually, it's going to fall. But if it's just simply a part of our life, if it's a part of us, not adding on to, then the foundation remains secure. And I think so many times what we do is we think, let's add Jesus to our life. Let's see if we can fit him in. but it wasn't something that we fit in. It was the foundation. It was the starting place. It was the beginning of everything. And sand can be those good things. But I think there's some things that are true about sand. Because first of all, when we hear sand, I think most of us think, oh, a beach house. That's not what Jesus is talking about. The second thing that comes to mind is, well, sand is pretty useful in building. Right? I mean, don't builders actually come in and use sand to level before they build? I can ask David and Jay, but isn't that right? You use sand to level. But again, that's not really what Jesus is talking about. What Jesus is talking about is in the Middle East, where sand actually is mostly found, in a place where it was very, very rocky with limestone. Sand was almost always found in what's called a wadi. And a wadi is a dry riverbed. It's where sand and rock and sediment settles in one place. And sand is anything in our life. It's anything in our life that cannot sustain the weight of our soul. But if you were to look at a dry riverbed, you could look at this wide open space that's flat, and you can say, that looks like a great place to build. I can build quickly. I don't have to do a lot of work leveling and flattening. It's the perfect place to build. And here's the thing, is you might be right 364 days out of the year there. But when Jesus talks about building on the sand, I think every one of them would have thought, how stupid would that be to build your house in the middle of a wadi? Now, I know for us, we don't really understand what this would look like. And so, thankfully, YouTube has some great examples of wadi floods. So I want you to watch this.
يا اخي معقول نساعده؟ والله ما قهت يا ابو حمد.
Clip is 50 seconds long. And the thing that sticks out to me most in that video is it's not raining there. It's rained somewhere else, and the runoff from the mountains and canyons falls into this wadi. And it goes from a completely dry riverbed to this raging water in a matter of seconds. Now, most of us would look at that flat ground and say, well, I mean, I guess that could be. I mean, if you don't know anything about the terrain, if you don't know anything about the seasons and about what happens, you could look at that and say, well, maybe that would be a good place to build. But I think Jesus' audience would have looked at it and said, that would be pretty dumb. It would be really dumb of someone to go build there. And Jesus says, it's the one who hears these words and does not do them. It's like a person who went and built this gorgeous, beautiful house in the middle of a dry riverbed. And things were fine until one day the floodwaters rose and the storm came and it fell with a great crash. See, sand is useful as long as it serves the foundation. But sand is deadly when it becomes the foundation. And the problem is not having sand in our life. The problem is asking sand to do the work of rock. And saying, God, my family matters so much. I want it to be the foundation. My check account matters so much. I want it to be the foundation. Food, career, retirement. Sand is anything that cannot sustain the weight of our soul. But for both builders, the storm comes. Understand this. The storm is not punishment. The storm is not, well, one person, they heard Jesus' words and they did them, so the storm didn't come. And one person heard the words and didn't do them, so the storm did. The storm came for both. The storm wasn't punishment, but it was a revelation of the foundation. It allows people to see what your life is really built on, because the promise that Jesus makes to every single one of us is the storm will come. And you might not have faced it yet, but I promise you, you will. The storms will come. The goal is not a storm-free life. It is a storm-worthy foundation. It is a life that is built on a foundation that is strong and that will hold through anything. The storm is not punishment. And it brings up this really important question. Am I building on Christ, or am I adding Christ to what I have already built? Is the foundation of my life Christ, the solid rock? Or am I just simply adding Jesus to what I have already built and asking Him to bless it? The foundation that we build upon is every bit as important as what we are building. And I think it leaves us with some questions that we can ask ourselves. Where am I hearing the words of Jesus but not practicing the words of Jesus? Where am I admiring the teachings of Jesus but not obeying the teachings of Jesus? Where am I asking sand to do the work of rock in my life? The question is not, is Jesus somewhere in your house? The question is Jesus the foundation of your house? Is He the foundation of what we are building? And as a church, we are the builder, the wise builder, when we build our lives on Jesus, not just on hearing the words of Jesus, but by practicing the way of Jesus. There's a really old preacher story I heard years and years ago. There was a church that was in all kinds of conflict, fighting, arguing. And they decided the best thing that they could do was to hire a new minister. And they settled on an older guy because he was wise. He had some energy. And he came in and he stood in the pulpit the very first Sunday. And he preached a sermon on forgiveness. And afterwards, everyone, they could not wait to come up to the front and just tell him what an amazing job he did and how convicting the sermon was and how it moved them. And everyone went on their ways and went back to normal life. The next Sunday, the preacher stood and he preached the exact same sermon. And the congregation was a little confused. Maybe he was just a little nervous. Maybe he's getting a little old and forgetful. Maybe there's a reason, but we'll just let it go and pretend like it was fine. And afterwards, they came up, and once again, man, that was so good. It was so convicting. And they went on their way. Third week, they came back. And he stood before them and preached the exact same sermon again. And this time, people were starting to get confused. They were starting to wonder, what in the world is going on? Why would you preach the same sermon 3 weeks in a row? This can't be just forgetting. Maybe his wife will tell him that that's the same one you did last week and the week before. And so afterwards, a couple of the elders in the congregation came up to him and said, hey, we have a lot of people that are really confused, and they're wondering why you preached the same sermon this week that you did the week before and the week before. And he said, oh, well, that's easy. When we start actually doing this one, then we'll move on to the next one. Let's be honest. It's pretty easy to hear the words of Jesus and say, wow, that was so convicting. And walk out the doors and nothing changes. So over the next several weeks, we're going to talk about the foundation that we're building our life on. Not just simply to say, those were some amazing words, but to say, as followers of Jesus, we are going to reorder our life around them. Father, we thank you so much for this time. God, we're grateful to be able to gather in your name to celebrate you. But Father, also to be convicted. Not just stirred, but truly moved. Moved to take a step closer to you. To be more like you. And Father, that is our prayer today. That you would transform us into the image of your Son. Not just hearing the words of Jesus, but actually beginning to live them out. Father, give us the courage and help us to see the spaces in our life where our life doesn't align with you, and make us more like your Son. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.